Michael knows firsthand how difficult it can be to afford and access digital technologies and vital online services when living on a low income and also supporting his family. We caught up for a chat earlier today and Michael shared some of his experiences.
I'm on DSP, Disability Support Pension. I have a lot of medical appointments that I have to keep up with. I've found a number of my specialists I go and see, they'll actually have an SMS system that I'll send out an SMS, yes or no, are you attending? If no, let us know. If you don't reply, your appointment's cancelled. Ergo, if you don't have credit on your phone, you miss your appointment. And some of these appointments, you can be waiting months and months and months if you miss an appointment. 6 months later, then you get an appointment. And another example, also with the medical system, I see a lot of our patients' appointments at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital, and they go for a central telephone switchboard for our patients, and I've sometimes been ringing for half an hour, 45 minutes to an hour, to longer, trying to get through. And again, because it's through a PABX system that's charging my money as well as my time. And if I miss an appointment, could be up to 12 months later to get a new one, depending on which outpatient department, 6 months to 12 months at times. And the other thing too with phones, I have children. I have to communicate with their schools at times, and also have to be able to get their out-of-school care sorted out, be able to make those phone calls that are necessary. And if we have a look on also on the side of technology, Centrelink's, we have to make note of, let Centrelink know of any income that's been, needs to be reported. And Centrelink, when you ring them up, you could be on hold for what feels like forever, so 20 minutes, half an hour, 2 hours at times. And as I said before, I'm on Disability Support Pension. There is a dedicated 13 number for disability support information and assistance, and I have in the last 3 years never been able to get through to them, ring that call centre number. If you walk into the Centrelink office, they immediately defer you to go online to get the assistance that you need, and that makes a presumption that you have access to the internet, or that you have a computer or a tablet or some way of getting onto the internet to get the information you need. The applications for payments also, or adjustments to payments, is also done online. And as society anyway, is generalisation penalised for with our banking or our utilities? If you want a paper version, you're charged a premium for getting a paper version. So the presumption is you have a computer or some way of receiving an email with your statements from bank or utilities and get a discount for that. Essentially what it means is those without the technology are penalised for not having technology. So there's a cross that you're punished with. So a lot of people in my situation are also studying, I've only found out the other day that some courses at university don't even have readers to go with the degrees anymore, so presumption is that you'll have a tablet or a computer to be able to get your readers on. But also, this will age me, my undergraduate degree I did in the 90s, even then you had to submit on paper as a printout. Now they use a program called Turnitin, which to look at for plagiarism, which means it's got to be submitted in Microsoft Word or Apple Pages to be able to be electronically submitted. If you don't have that ability to submit through the system, you can't go through the course and be marked and pass the course. The biggest concern that I do have is those on low income pay more per percentage of income on their technology compared to somebody on a higher income. If it costs myself, you know, $1,000 per quarter, as an example, to have phone and internet and technology, comparing that to my income compared to somebody in the middle class or higher, it's a lot higher burden on people in my situation and my peers as well. So I was quite shocked, actually, when we SACOS brought out the report that broke it down and said South Australians have the highest utility rates with technology and phones. And I thought it was absolutely shocking. I mean, it's been long recognised now we've got the highest utilities as far as gas and electricity, so why don't we have the highest of everything? Well, apparently we do. It's disgracefully inequitable for those who can least afford to pay proportionally more for their income. And my daughter goes to a technology high school where she has to have a laptop. We buy through the school, and There's no options. We cannot buy an alternative laptop outside the school. In a high schooling, there's two laptops. So the first one, when she starts in year 10 this year, so 11 or 12, she'll get another laptop. So a total of nearly $5,000 of laptop fees. And as I said, you cannot use an alternative laptop. It has to be their laptop. There is no loaner laptop. So if the laptop breaks, she's without a laptop for a period of time and can't do the homework that she's got to do. And much like university, that assignments need to be emailed in through a system. But on the flip side, she's got access to what's called a digital library, which has more books available to her than the paper version library has. So there is an upside of the technology. So it's not all negative. But the downside is, my understanding was sort of put to us, is if we couldn't afford the laptop, it was sort of see you later, go to a different school.
As you say, having access to such a wide library of resources is a really wonderful thing for a young person studying. But again, if they don't have the technology to be able to support that, what do they do?
Exactly. I mean, if I was her age and was at school with the availability to be able to get unlimited access to books like she does, I'd be in my element. The super nerd in me would come out, and but you've got to be able to have the financial wherewithal to be able to afford the laptops, keep her in the school, to be able to access that. And so we've taken on the side of giving her the best chance possible so she can take advantage of it, and being able to access, to utilise the school resources through the use of technology. And from my perspective is, the children are innocent in this. They don't deserve to be penalised because of a parent gets sick or some unfortunate circumstance occurs. And it's grossly unfair that children are marginalised because they're the innocent party in the whole equation. That's why we've decided that we would make these sacrifices to give our children the best chance they can have. And it's not a black, white, race, anything. It purely comes down to income and affordability. And I got sick quite some time ago, and it wasn't for my choice. I didn't decide to wake up one day and decide to get sick and punish my children. But we've set out to make sure the children aren't marginalised within their peers as being not having or being different to their peers. They're not aware of the struggles of anything that happens behind closed doors. As parents, we deal with that, and they're not made aware of the struggles. They don't see the bills. They don't see the struggles that happens. But it's the end result is the children, best education possible, university if they choose, which I certainly hope so, that they can have everything society can offer, that they can take.
Once upon a time, it was just the cost of the education. I use just in quotation marks, but it was just the cost of education that was, I suppose, the hurdle for a good education. But now it's not only the fees of getting into the school, but also these other costs of having the right technology.
It's absolutely true. There has always been a disparity in education in this country and in the West between the elite private school and versus the poorer cousin, which is the public schools. Now we've got a new elitism that's happening, which is the affordability of technology, those who can afford and those who can't, irrespective of whether it's private school or not private school, just affordability of technology. We have politicians who got their tertiary education when there was no fees on their courses for their university courses. I'm old enough, it's really going to age me, thank goodness. Computers, they weren't around when I was a primary schooler. It's a PC, but it's very glaringly, there's the have-nots and have-tos with technology. It's this great divide that's occurring now. In my era, going to school, people could afford encyclopedias was a big thing. Could your parents afford to buy Encyclopedia Britannica? Or now is it the $5,000 laptop versus a $200 one that's recycled from corporations?
If you could give a personal message to the politicians who are campaigning and they're going along the campaign trail and going to different communities, what would you like them to know about your own experiences with digital inclusion?
What I'd like them to know from my aspect of digital inclusion is those such as myself on the lower economic level are in the economic desert. We're reaching out, trying to grasp that glass of economic water, but we're actually not even be able to even get a drop of it because it's so costly at this point in time. So how about being a fairer system to allow people from low socioeconomic background to have a glass of that digital water to drink, and then so we can actually survive. Humans can't survive without water, or they can't survive without digital technology in this day and age. How about letting us have some of that drink?
That's the voice of Michael, who is living on a low income and is supporting a family and knows firsthand how difficult it can be to afford and access digital technologies and vital online services.